This program is a part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. Full Service Radio is also proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. I live, work, and I love beer here in D.C. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer. I continued my studies in beer at grad school at NYU. Since then, I have been a beer director, beer consultant, beer bar general manager. I currently teach, write, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Each week, I will have a different guest from a different part of the beer world, from importers, bartenders, educators, brewers, to help us explore this really fascinating and dynamic world. Whether you are new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. I am currently sitting down here on Monday morning with Colleen Gillespie. She is the bar manager at Boundary Stone Public House in Washington, D.C. Colleen, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm really impressed that you are here and timely on Monday morning after the Eagles win, as I know that you are a fan.
Yes. Last night was a whirlwind. We were so nervous going into, Boundary Stone is an unofficial Eagles bar here in the city. We didn't mean to be, we're just all from the area. I grew up outside of Philadelphia on the South Jersey side, as did the owners of the bar. We all kind of grew up in the little radius of each other. And so we had, you know, cheesesteak specials, that's our thing, and $4 Dallas Sucks beers from Weyerbacher in Pennsylvania. So it was just the energy in the entire place was just, we were just buzzing and everyone was nervous and on edge, but then we just kept scoring touchdowns and we couldn't believe it because in Philadelphia we're used to losing, honestly. We weren't expecting to go as far as we did, so.
Did it get a little rowdy?
It got real rowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a quick exit after the game was over, luckily, and it's still standing. The bar is still standing, so we're okay.
That's good. And from what I understand, Philadelphia is still standing as well.
Yeah, I think the fireworks are, I'm curious to see. I mean, I'll be home in Philadelphia for the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's not being held there, but as a unit, we'll all be in Philadelphia.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you have been a bar manager at Boundary Stone for...
Since June. Yeah,
okay.
I started a year ago, actually, mm-hmm. at the Stone. And they gave me the bar, just. They're like, hey, do you want to take the bar? I was like, yes, twist my arm. So I started in June, kind of just redoing everything. So it's been fun.
Nice. And you were also a manager at Blue Jacket.
I was.
Down at the Navy Yard.
Yes.
So, you know, you've definitely... seen a lot of different bars and kind of, you know, how to run things, and you definitely have a passion for craft beer. You brought us a little treat sip on this morning.
Yes.
There's no better way to start off Monday morning.
That's right.
Than with beer. What'd you bring us here?
I brought Valley of the Heart's Delight from Almanac. Mm-hmm. It was one of the only non-IPAs I have in my fridge right now.
Nice.
It's a sour blonde with apricots and strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
A nice zesty pick-me-up in the morning. It's from California. I think I got this. My first time I had Almanac, I was in San Diego, and I gravitate towards sours and saisons usually at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed with, you know, they have this farm-to-barrel program that they do, which I thought was really cool. And then I got this from the craft beer cellar on H Street, which you can pretty much find anything you're looking for. Yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, it's
as a you know, as a plug to that store, it's awesome.
Yeah,
they have a fantastic selection. This is right on 8th Street Northeast Craft Beer Cellars, and I mean, incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly helpful staff.
Super knowledgeable. I'm always really excited because sometimes you go in and you're looking at things, and you know, people ask if you need help, but usually I don't. But they're super helpful, and they, if you're looking for something in particular, like, hey, come check out this over here, it's new.
Yeah.
And then they have tastings all the time. They have people in, which I think is cool too.
Yeah. Well, cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Oh wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
Nice, tart, refreshing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, kind of a mimosa.
You know, kind of, sort of like a mimosa. Sometimes I just put, if I have a goza on draft, I'll pour a little orange juice in there and make a goza mimosa.
So this is actually something I was going to talk to you a little bit about later in the show, but like, let's just dive right in. as a bar manager, and a little bit about my background, for about 2 years, I was the general manager at Birch and Barley Church Key. And as a bar manager, you often have to kind of get people hooked on like a gateway beer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they say in school, marijuana is the gateway drug.
Yes.
Yes. You need a gateway beer. You need something that has a familiar experience or a familiar flavor to kind of ease people into what is probably
totally
the greatest beverage ever. So, you know, this is something that you do, you know, someone says, hey, I like mimosas. This is something that you kind of like ease them into it with.
Absolutely. And I also think that sours are such an easy gateway for people that aren't, people that think that beer is yellow and fizzy. And, you know, when you drank Keystone Light when you were 17, that's sort of like what it was. And that's like etched into their minds. Like, I only drink wine. Okay, cool. You only drink wine. Why don't you try this goza or this sour or this, you know, a red, or not a red ale, but like a Flemish red,
yeah,
something like that to kind of, it's so similar to wine in the the taste of it, that
a lot of sours kind of have that, you know, acidity structure. And,
right,
you know, a lot of times you see these beers aged in oak or you see them with fruit. So you're getting a wine experience almost. And as far as pairing beer with food, it's easy.
I mean, sours, things that like sours and saisons and things with kind of like a fruitier nose are so easy to pair with food. And also, this is a quick jump from wine when you can, like, hey, when people aren't aware that you could even pair beer with food, it's always just a wine and food pairing in their minds, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I mean, it's so versatile. You can do it with, you know, a funky cheese. You could do it with charcuterie. You could do it with, you know, a nice light kind of like citrusy acidic salad that you have. So these are, I think that sours are the best way to pair with food if you as a start or as a finish to your meal. I think this is kind of, and also if people are unfamiliar with pairing beers and food, this is an easy way to do it.
Yeah. And you know, this is something that I used to talk to my staff a lot about, in that when somebody comes in and they say, oh, I hate beer, or, you know, oh, I just, you know, just give me whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. It's so easy, you know, to kind of turn your nose up at somebody and be like, ugh, you know.
Yes.
Ugh. But like, you know, that's not who we are as a beer community. I mean, it's supposed to be incredibly welcoming. And for the most part, it is.
Right.
That is something that I really love about beers, that it is so welcoming. But I mean, as somebody behind the bar, like, you gotta appeal to everybody. And, it, you know, for me, it's something that I find a little annoying, you know, when you go to a beer bar or something like that and someone kind of turns their nose up on, you know, what somebody ordered or something like that. And it's like, you gotta find what people enjoy and kind of help them discover something new, you know. That's,
yeah, it was that actually you bring up, you know, I'll have whatever I don't like. My favorite thing to do was to have someone say, I don't drink beer, I don't like beer, give me some, just give me a Bud Light, whatever you have. Not there, there's a time and a place for every beer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I say, well, what do you like to drink outside of beer? And if they would say, you know, a red wine or a white wine or something fruitier, I would give them a chance, like three things, give them three or four tastes of something. I'm like, okay, tell me what you think of these four. Mm-hmm. If I can't find you something, then I will get you the closest thing to Bud Light, I promise. But if I can find you something else, if I can broaden your horizon just a little bit when it comes to beer, then I've done my job.
And, you know, this is twofold from a service experience. I mean, you are creating a new, exciting experience for them. You're taking care of them. I mean, people go out to eat, they go out to drink because they don't want to do it themselves. They want to be taken care of.
Exactly.
And, you know, the whole basis of what we do, the whole basis behind the hospitality industry is to kind of ease their troubles, you know, and, you know, take away the guesswork, essentially.
Exactly. So. I mean, it's definitely a constant, no matter what's going on, especially, you know, now what's going on in this city. We open for lunch today because we don't normally open on Mondays for lunch, but because
the government shut down. Yeah.
We're like, hey man, we're here for you. We got $3 Busch Lights and $3 Strohs. Come on down.
We're here to support you.
We're here to support you.
While you don't do work on your laptop.
Exactly. While you figure out what's going to happen over the next 3 days, three weeks, yeah. Whatever, however long it takes, we'll be here for you.
So Boundary Stone does a lot of really cool events.
We do.
Do you have anything coming up that's like exciting and new?
Yeah, actually on Thursday we have an Australia Day event. We are not
really
an Australian bar, but Little Creatures, which is a brewery in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
They just got into the market. And so they had come in. Our sister restaurant, All Purpose, carries them. I try not to carry smaller six stills because we have really long lines, and so it doesn't really make sense for me. But we're doing an event with them. They're bringing their pale ale in, and we're having Australian cuisine, which it involves meat pies and Aussie burgers and things of that nature. And just a fun party. You know, we're going to have that on Thursday. Then, what else have we coming up? We have a Guinness event. So we are a big Guinness bar. We are all Irish. So it's kind of, you know, of all the craft beers on my draft line, Guinness is a constant.
Hey, that's a great, refreshing beverage.
I'll tell you. When I went backpacking in Ireland and I think I drank my body weight in Guinness. Just the loop.
Which is hard because, honestly, Guinness isn't that high in alcohol.
It's sure not.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite the feat as a 24-year-old. So we have a Guinness event. We have this Guinness club. It's the pint club. Mm-hmm. So if you drink 90 pints, you get your name on a plaque.
Okay. So I'm assuming not.
You have as much time as you want.
Great. Okay. Yes. Let's, you know.
Yeah. You can.
Let's not encourage binge drinking.
As long as we are open to the public, you can drink a Guinness and we have a card behind the bar with your name on it stamp as you enjoy a pint.
Nice.
Or three, whichever you have time for. So we have an event in February, just a Guinness happy hour that the Guinness crew will come in and talk about their new brewery that they opened in Baltimore, Laurel, I think, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an Inkazi event in March that has a band and it's kind of like a jam band and they have their debuting new cans. So nice. We're going to have three on draft and then three cans.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Inkazi, they're from Oregon.
Yes. Eugene?
Eugene, Oregon, and producing some really amazing beers. So they haven't always come to D.C. This is a newer thing in the past couple of years.
Right. I think it's been 2 years.
Yeah, two
since
years.
Since they've been here.
So definitely something worth checking out. Also, and I'm tying in a previous show here, I had Katie Marisic on a couple weeks ago.
She told me.
And she works for the Brewers Association. She is a Pennsylvania native.
She is.
So we had talked about Trogues a little bit. And they're actually going to have an event on January 24th at Church Key. They'll be releasing their first squeeze. And they're also going to have five different casks with five different dry hop treatments. They've also commissioned 14 local artists to create posters inspired by Nugget Nectar.
That's cool.
Right? This is the second year that they're doing it.
That's super cool.
So they'll have those posters that, you know, as long as they last.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely get there and check it out.
Yeah. So that's so rad.
There are a lot of really great...
It's always a big deal when Nugget Nectar comes on the casks at Church Gate. Because I remember for the past... It's every year.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's crazy. So, you know, at Church Key, we did so many big beer events. And, you know, between the Goose Island Migration and Swansea Day, it was...
Swansea Day.
You know, it's Goose Island Migration with Goose Island Brewing Company, and then also Zwanzee Day with Canteon. No, let me back up a little bit. For those of you who don't know Zwanzee Day, it's the greatest day of the year.
It is. It's like Christmas.
Canteon, a world-renowned brewery out of Brussels, Belgium, releases a beer every year. It's their Zwanzee beer, and it's different every year. And they release a certain number of kegs to certain bars and breweries around the world. And then those bars and breweries tap that beer at the same time. It usually falls in September. Usually this past year it fell on the same day as Snallygaster,
which
is
right.
A very large beer festival here in DC. But it's like Hands Across America, except it's around the world and it's with beer, so it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The thing is with beer events is you typically get this massive line out the front door. The keg usually doesn't get tapped till 3 p.m., but we start selling tickets for pours at 11, I believe. So you see a line starting to form around like 7 a.m. And, you know, it's one of those things. Beer events, and you had this at Blue Jacket, you definitely have this at Boundary Stone. Beer events are always really cool and exciting because you get so many different people coming in, and it's busy and everyone's there for the same reason, and it's really cool. But occasionally you get people like they get a little like antsy, they get a little mean or pushy, you know, because you're in line for so long and all this other stuff. And you want to be like, hey man, this is beer. This is the happiest thing.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It'll be okay.
You know.
Do you want a sandwich? Because I feel like you're getting cranky.
Because we have sandwiches.
We do.
So it's, you know, that was one thing that always struck me as a beer bar manager is anytime there are these beer events, if anyone got a little cranky, I'd just be like, why? This is so happy. Right. There's plenty of beer. We have 50 kegs. You're going to be fine.
And if you don't have one, you've done it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And I was reading that you all have St. Baldrick's.
We do. St. Baldrick's is our biggest event that we have. And it's last year was my first year being a part of it. I was bartending. And it's just a different vibe. It's just, it's incredible. And Brendan Scala is our MC every year. And he's just a ball of energy. And he can, you know, get money from anyone. Everyone's just throwing money at the front. It's a really cool unity that day. Everyone is just, you know, there's people kind of tell stories, and we had a survivor last year, a little kid was up there and his family was shaving their heads, and everyone, you know, the entire Croak family. So if you don't know, the Croaks are the Croaks and the McDonough's own the Boundary Stone, and the entire family, including Jan the matriarch, she shaves her head too. Everyone, every generation goes up and shaves their head.
This is a foundation that benefits cancer.
Children's
yep. cancer. And basically, you know, you raise a certain amount of money and then you shave your head.
Right.
And
just support.
Yeah, and support.
Yeah. So this year, each year we have a staff tribute, mm-hmm. if you will. This year we actually have two volunteers, so they have their own pages and they're going to shave their heads, and it's, you know, people set up their own shave teams, I guess is what they're called. And then we go around and we recruit from different restaurants, and, you know, instead of multiple places having them, we all have them come to us, and we have, you know, we raffle off tickets to Ireland and trips, and, you know, whatever we can have donated, we'll auction off, and all the proceeds go to St. Baldrick's.
Nice.
Which it's just awesome, and it's a good feeling, and everyone has such a good time, and it's for such a good cause, and it's, you know, it's a party. It's a shave party.
So when is this? What day is this?
March 11th, whatever Sunday that is, March 12th. I should know that. Unprepared.
It's okay. Yeah. It's, you know, Monday after the Eagles win. I get it. God. You know. So we are going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back with Colleen from Boundary Stone.
A little chill instrumental on the break here. This is called Intermission from Flash Frequency. Local Adams Morgan producer. He also has a show here on Thursday nights called Leaf Broadcast. We'll be right back with Beer Me. This is Full Service Radio.
Welcome back to Beer Me at Full Service Radio, recording live here at the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. We are sitting down with Colleen Gillespie of Boundary Stone Public House. We were just talking about an event coming up for them to benefit St. Baldrick's, kind of going through what that looks like. People coming in, enjoying some beer, doing some raffles, shaving some heads, benefiting children's cancer research and support.
Yeah, so everyone, when it's your turn to shave.
Okay.
If you haven't hit your goal yet, that's kind of where Brandon comes in and gets the crowd riled up, and people throw, you know, whatever money necessary to get you to your goal. And you can donate in the form of cash, or you can run a card at the bar, and we'll just have an open donation, and those sales will go to Baldrick's. And then so the lovely, lovely stylists at Hell's Bottom in Shaw, I believe on the 9th in Rhode Island.
Hell's Bottom is the schwanky,
it's schwanky
barber shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They donate their services, and they are the ones shaving. So if you do, if you shave your head and your face.
For beards.
For beards.
Yeah.
Yes. They'll donate more money. So the more you're shaving, and I think RB, our bartender who also owns Grey Wolf Distilling, last year he shaved his head, his beard, and I believe they convinced him to shave his chest as well. It wasn't a whole, it was weird. But
that's a lot of scaping.
It was a lot. It was a lot. We were into it. We're like, just RB raised all the money.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's good.
Beautiful.
His wife was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Are you guys pouring any special beer or anything like that during
the day? We haven't decided yet. We usually do a DC Brow affiliate. So I'll probably get with them and decide kind of what we're going to pour. We'll do specials. We have such a good relationship with DC Brow. Those guys are just phenomenal. And
yeah, so fun.
We opened up at the same time. We're both got 6 years under our belt. So, you know, we kind of grown together and supported each other. So it's always been, it's a nice friendship we have. So we'll probably have them. We'll probably pour a beer from them.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I, kind of backing up from Boundary Stone a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about, kind of the beer world in general. Yeah. As somebody who has run beer bars and restaurants, the training process that you typically go through with a staff, you know, are there things that you tend to focus on with your staff members or kind of areas that you're very particular about, especially when it comes to beer?
I like to focus on styles and also how to describe them. Sort of, you know, it's not like Boundary Stone is not like Blue Jacket, which is where I'm going to liken this to, because at Blue Jacket, we did, as you did at Churchkey, we did in-depth training.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, I came to Blue Jacket having already been in the beer world in D.C., and I had worked in Bruges in Belgium teaching beer classes, so I came into Blue Jacket thinking that I knew everything I needed to know, and I was hit with, I remember being in my first pre-shift meeting, and everyone was going around naming hops and all these different, they were just on it, and I sat there being like, oh, I don't know as much as I thought that I did. And I got a huge education over there from the brewing perspective because I got to give brewery tours and it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Engert's training manual itself is like, it's a giant binder full of just beer knowledge gold. But yeah, so keep.
Yeah, so I definitely learned a lot about, especially in pairing and, you know, the process and how different hops affect different beers. And so I like to kind of, while I don't expect my staff at Boundary Stone to be as well, not, you know, as well versed at Blue Jacket, because that was our every single day we would breathe beer at all times, and how far we could take it. I like my staff to know, I like them to have fun with it. I like them to enjoy what they're drinking, and I want them to get excited about it. So for me, I have to be excited about it to get them excited about it, to sell it to their guests.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for people to come in and be like, I'll just take a Busch Light and a Gansett, and that's fine. But I've started changing the giraffes up pretty frequently to kind of expand our offerings and challenge our staff and our servers and our bartenders, as well as offering our patrons something new and exciting. And I like our staff to know know what we have, but also if the guest is looking for something that maybe we don't have, to offer something as similar.
Yeah.
So we've done a couple beer classes. So Chris Graham, who works at DC Brow, he and I did a beer class for the staff, basically beer 101.
Yeah.
Just an overlay of, you know, how beer is made and also the main ingredients and then the different styles. And we would do things that we had and then traditional things that we had on tap and mm-hmm. versus traditional styles.
Yeah.
And what we had compared to traditional styles of beer. So I think education is the biggest thing that you can have in your arsenal when it comes to working in a restaurant. I mean, the more you know, the better you serve your guests and you know, the more money you're going to make, honestly, because you can recommend things that, like, people want to be taken care of. They want almost you to make a decision for them, whereas they can buy a pack of, you know,
whatever
at the store. But if I have this really cool thing on draft, they can't get that everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
And no, I totally agree with you. You know, having a comprehensive understanding of different beer styles, they can kind of direct people around, you know, okay, no, we don't have Bud Light, but I have this really cool Kolsch, or I have this really cool Pilsner, and I can kind of, you know, get something, you know, in that world, in that kind of crisp world, and, you know, kind of direct you from there. And, you know, you're right. There's that beautiful moment when you get the trust of the guest, and they're like, oh, you know what you're talking about. Great. Just take care of me. I'm going to relax and have fun.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's good for everybody. And I totally agree with your point on education. You know, something that, you know, got brought up a lot at the Craft Brewers Conference this year is, you know, breweries are expanding and they're adding brew pubs. Well, brew pubs come staff. And with that staff, you have to educate them and you have to take the time and invest in them. There's something really beautiful about, you know, staff members coming in an hour early, taking, you know, some time to actually, you know, learn. And people appreciate being taught. You know, it's like, hey, the company that I work for is taking time to invest in me. And that's, you know, that's something that, you know, Neighborhood Restaurant Group does very well. Greg Eggert does do very well, is education. Education is really primary. So
my favorite thing is to teach someone else about something that I love.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, if I could teach someone about beer all day, I will. They might tell me to stop talking, but I probably wouldn't. And I think, I mean, that goes across the board for us too. We have, you know, 90 different bourbons and whiskeys at that bar. It's overwhelming. So I've, you know, in addition to taking over the beer program, I've also taken over the spirits and the cocktails and the wine. And so I've learned so much in the past 6 months, things that I didn't really have to do before. And that's been really exciting. So we've had classes about, you know, whiskey 101, spirits 101,
oh, that's awesome.
Wines, cocktails. So it's really, and you know, I love that even we have a small staff, but even people that are just there part-time one day a week on the weekends, they still come in for the classes, which is, I mean, you're drinking with your friends and learning.
Yeah, but that shows that they, you know, they care about what they're doing, you know, even if it is just one day a week. And that's really beautiful to see.
Yeah, it's definitely a good little family we have down there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, go check out Boundary Stone Public House for some really delicious beer, some really delicious food, some really supportive people. And... thank you all for listening this week. Thank you, Colleen, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing the beer.
You're welcome.
We have been broadcasting and recording live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. I am your host, Sarah Jane. This show airs live every Monday at 11 a.m., Eagles game or not. And this is archived on fullserviceradio.org. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at fullserviceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at fullserviceradio, or by emailing info@fullserviceradio.org. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info at fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at fullserviceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.